Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker today is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James. Today our talk is entitled, If God is Good, Why Do Bad Things Happen? The readings this week are taken from 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 9 and Romans 8 verses 18 to 25. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
This is probably the second most difficult chapter to read because there's hardly any full stops. Maybe Peter was competing with Paul in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though not for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by its various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18 through to verse 25. And this talks about present suffering and future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray a moment. Our Father, we thank you that you are with us now and that you have promised not to go away but stay with us always. Help us as we look at what your word says about tough times as well as the good. Amen. Glad to see you back, Fabian. But are we still friends? Look at the title he's given me. I'm not really clever enough to give you a good answer, but I've got some random thoughts. You really need somebody much more clever and knowledgeable than me. Perhaps somebody like C.S. Lewis, not just the writer of the Narnia series, but also a lot of practical Christian books. Very good at explaining things, and I have his book, The Problem of Pain, if you'd like to borrow it. One of the good things from it is that if you want to make people who of their own free will love you, you have to allow them free will, even to do bad things. If you made people who could only do good, they would be just robots. They wouldn't be real people with real love. Or perhaps you could have somebody like G.K. Chesterton, who you may not have heard of, unless you watch the Father Brown series. This is rumored to be the case, but nobody's found it. There's a story that a newspaper, possibly the Times, asked this question: what is wrong with the world? And he is supposed to have come back with the answer. And I think we could all say that. Dear sir, we are the problem with the world. If only we was much better. I mean, suppose I was in charge of the world. What a wonderful place it would be. I'm such a lovely chap. And I'd never make mistakes. Yes, I think we can all see where that one goes. Or a simpler question. What would the world be like if there's no pain? Pain hurts. None of us like it. Pain hurts. Now, I'm going to show you a nasty photograph. You may wish to look away, and I'll tell you when you can look back again. This is what happens if you don't have any pain. These are the hands of a person suffering from leprosy. And a Dr. Paul Brand of Vellore discovered that actually leprosy doesn't gnaw away at the flesh. What happens is lepers cannot feel pain. I'll take that off. You can look again now. And they hurt themselves. They continue to have small injuries. He found there were people walking around with nails through the soles of their shoes. And they couldn't feel it. Wonderful. But no, it harmed the legs. We have pain to stop us doing things that damage us. And whereas we may not particularly like it, we wouldn't be here fit and healthy if we couldn't feel pain. And it's true not just of physical pain, but how often are we stopped from doing something unpleasant to somebody because we see it's painful? Pain can also precede a reward. The motto for marathon runners is no pain, no gain. And if you want to run a marathon, and I speak from personal experience, you've got to go through a bit of pain. But you have an end in view. And by going through that, you get a reward. I used to train teams for 10 tours. This is the last team I trained, and they did it. All six of them got through to the end, having walked 35 miles over 10 tours during 2 days, carrying everything on their backs. But you can imagine they went through some pain. This is just the start of it. And what you probably can't see on that photograph, but that grey line is a load of children with their backs loaded down, travelling up the first little hill. It's several months of training and hard work. So often pain does lead to a reward. And the Bible says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I must say, a little while, sometimes he's quite a long while. And the one bit of the readings that I find sticks in my throat is Wendy's last few words. You have patience. I don't. If they're suffering, I don't have patience. If only I did, perhaps I will learn when I get old. And it's rather difficult for gold to perish. Proving genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it's refined by fire. Perishes? It doesn't much, you know. If you go to the British Museum, you can see gold things that are thousands of years old, and they're still as bright and shiny as this ring. And of course, the reason that this ring is made of gold is that it lasts. It will last. And our faith tried will last if it's genuine. Then, as I hinted at before, we need to think about the fall. I've used this picture before, but it shows the grief of Adam and Eve. What have we done? And I'm not going to go into that passage of Genesis much now. But we all know that with free will, we have the ability to choose love or evil. Our whole creation has been groaning, Paul said, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly. The whole creation that we have here is a spoiled world, but one where the greatness of the original design shines through. We have the first fruits, we'll get the rest later. There's lots of problems here. Let me deal with one. Why do good people suffer when bad people seem to be fine? T.H. White, wrote a series, The Once and Future King, a retelling of the story of Arthur. And his first book, The Sword in the Stone, is one of the best children's books. And like all good children's books, it was written for adults. Incidentally, the rest of the series is worth reading, but leave it till your children are a bit older before letting them read it, okay? This one was publicized by Disney. But listen to this story. Something you really should have around the campfire. Can't do that here, but there's a picture for you to look at. Merlin is talking to the young Arthur called Wart. Sometimes, he said, life does seem to be unfair. Do you know the story of Elijah and Rabbi Yochanan? No, said Wart. He sat down resignedly upon the most comfortable part of the floor, seeing that he was in for something like the parable of the looking glass. This rabbi, said Merlin, went on a journey with the prophet Elijah. They walked all day, and at nightfall they came to the humble cottage of a poor man whose only treasure was a cow. The poor man ran out of his cottage, and his wife ran too, to welcome the strangers for the night and to offer them all simple hospitality, which they were able to give in straitened circumstances. Elijah and the rabbi were entertained with plenty of cow's milk, sustained by homemade bread and butter, and were put to sleep in the best bed, while the kindly host lay down before the kitchen fire. But in the morning, the poor man's cow was dead. Go on, said Arthur. They walked all the next day and came that evening to the house of a very wealthy merchant, whose hospitality they wanted. The merchant was cold and proud and rich, and all he'd do for the prophet and his companion was to lodge them in a cowshed and feed them on bread and water. In the morning, however, Elijah thanked him very much and sent for a mason to repair one of his walls, which happened to be falling down, as a return for his kindness. The Rabbi Yochanan, unable to keep silence any longer, begged the holy man to explain the meaning of his dealings with human beings. In regard to the poor man who received us so hospitably, replied the prophet, it was decreed that his wife was to die that night, but in reward for his kindness, God took the cow instead of the wife. I repaired the wall of the rich miser, because a chest of gold was concealed near the place, and if the miser had repaired the wall himself, he would have discovered the treasure. Don't say, therefore, to the Lord, what are you doing? But in your heart, must not the Lord of all the earth do right? In other words, we often don't know the whole story. How often something bad happens, but good can come from it. We don't see the whole story as God does, and it can be very hard to understand. Let me tell you another story. Some starfish were washed up on the beach, as happens occasionally. And a boy was walking along the beach, and he picked up a starfish and threw it back into the sea. And then he went along and picked up another one and threw it in the sea. And a man came along and said, "You fool, you silly little boy. You can't put all the starfish back in the sea. You can't make a difference." And the boy stooped and picked up a starfish and threw it into the sea and said, "Made a difference for that one." We cannot put the world right, you and I, but each of us can do a little bit of right and undo some of the bad. That's something we can do. Don't look at the world in despair because you can't put it right. Look at the world you meet and you can do a bit of right. And always remember that God is not distant from our suffering. I'm not apologizing for showing this verse yet again, having shown it a number of times. God so loved the world that he came and suffered with us, for us. He isn't a distant, remote God who looks at these poor little creatures suffering away and says, "Oh well, not me." No, he comes and suffers with us and for us. And I'm going to end by looking at that passage from Romans. I consider the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. People often mock Christianity as pie in the sky when you die. My only quarrel with that is, a pie isn't nothing. I want the great feast, the marvelous feast of all the people praising God together. And that lasts so much longer than anything. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecuting, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Paul suffered more than most. We may look defeated, but God says we are conquerors through Jesus who loved us. We're the winners. And I'm going to finish with one of my favorite verses, because it's so powerful. What can separate you from the love of God? Paul says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, present, future, any powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing you can imagine can separate you from God's love." even when bad things happen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you came to suffer with us. Lord, help us to approach suffering with a faith that will be burnished like gold is when it's put in fire to clear away the dross and leave the shining, sparkling gold. May our faith shine. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.